Going back to the text that Jabo read for you, it reads to us in John 18, verse 37. Pilate asked him, "So are you a king?" Or "So you are a king." Many of you know that I watch TV every now and then. And so when I do watch TV, although I don't really consider it to be TV, my wife does, I always look at Netflix. And, you know, Netflix has some very interesting TV series, if you've ever had the opportunity to watch them. Anything that you want to see, you can find on Netflix. So, some time ago, I got hooked on a particular Netflix series called The Tudors. Anybody ever saw The Tudors? Oh, you haven't? I'd say if you have not, you need to take a look at it. And see, The Tudors is a series about the reign of the famous King Henry VIII of England during the Middle Ages. And if you know anything about Henry VIII, you know that Henry VIII was a bad boy. That Henry VIII didn't play a whole lot. See, he was in some sense a very popular king among his subjects, and he did some good things during his lifetime. But we also know that King Henry VIII could take care of business when he needed to. See, if you know anything about him, you know that he executed some of his ex-wives. Not only did he do that, many of you also know part of the founding of the Episcopal Church is because he took England out from the Catholic Church and started the Anglican Church, the Church of England as we know it today. You see, and all throughout that series, King Henry did not play. There are people who were scared of King Henry. There were other nations who did not like King Henry. And there were people who were afraid of him. And when we think about a king, we think about somebody sometimes like him. Maybe not possess all the qualities, but we think of somebody who is supreme. Someone who is sovereign, someone who has all power. And when you go to that person who is called the king, you expect something to be done. In the same way today, we are talking about Jesus as Christ, the king. And many people, if we look at it today outside the four walls of the church, some people may not understand how is Jesus a king, knowing what we know about kings either from the Middle Ages or even kings today. Jesus in his life didn't necessarily fit to be a king as we know it. So how can we say that Jesus is king? We find out here is that Jesus was betrayed. Jesus had told the disciples all along that my time is coming, it's not here yet, but one of you sitting around the table will deny me. And one of you will do something wrong unto me. And the disciples could not understand who Jesus was talking about and what exactly was going to happen. But we find out here that Jesus had been after the supper that he had with his disciples. We find out as he had been walking along, Judas and some of the others had come for him. And they were going to arrest him. And you can imagine that as Judas had come up to Jesus and kissed him on the cheek, Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. And we find out that the authorities had taken him away, and the Jewish leaders wanted to get rid of Jesus. You see, because part of the reason why they wanted to get rid of Jesus, because number one, the most important reason, because they were messing around, or Jesus was messing around with what they were doing. Jesus was in on the scam, so to speak, of what they were teaching, because they were teaching and not following the Mosaic law as they were supposed to. And then we find out they had come, taken him to the Roman authorities, proclaiming, using the words of Jesus, that he is a king. And see, that was not a light charge. See, because the Jewish leaders could not punish Jesus by themselves. They wanted to get rid of him totally, and they needed the Roman state to make that decision. And so as the Jewish authorities had taken Jesus, and as he appeared to Annas, and now as he appears to Pilate, the proconsul, the governor of this particular land in which they were in, Pilate did not have a great relationship with those who were the followers, because everybody was supposed to follow Caesar. They were not supposed to follow this man named Jesus, who at this time, those followers called him by the way. And we find him, Pilate that is, having a conversation with Jesus. We find that Pilate is trying to understand, number one, why am I messing with this man? Because this man hasn't done anything wrong, number one. But number two is, how is it that he is a king? And so we find out here in this particular situation that Pilate asked him, people say that you are the king of the Jews. And then Jesus says, well, that's what they say. And then, Pilate gets upset. Well, look here, I am not a Jew, am I? And so they're going, having this back and forth about the political and theological meanings of what a king is. And so as Pilate hears what Jesus said to him about my kingdom is not from this world, and if it were from this world, my father would be fighting to keep me from being handed over. So Pilate says to him, so you are a king. Pilate was trying to understand, like everybody else that was surrounding this whole situation, is this man a king? Because if he says that he is a king, then there is sedition, and then he can be put on trial and he can be killed. But what does it mean for us today to say that Jesus is king? We think of a king of someone who's going to come with the cavalry, like the people back in those days. They were going to come and get rid of the Romans, and then we will be free from the oppression and all the other things, difficulties that we are facing. We are waiting for someone here today to come as Jesus king and to knock out all the inequities that we are facing today. We're waiting for someone to come and to release us from the bondage of life as we know it now. So how is it that this is not happening? We don't see Jesus coming out of the sky with warriors to free us, to give equal justice to everybody, to make sure that everybody is fed, that everybody is clothed, that everybody is treated right. But there are a few things, although we may not be able to realize it, that I believe that shows that Jesus is still king. If you know anything about a king, you know that a king has many characteristics and many duties. And one of the things that the king has to do is a king rules over the people. See, you can't be a leader if you don't have any followers. Is that not right? And if you have a king, people are going to follow you. Whether you're an elected king or whether it just happens through a monarchy, through a family situation, we understand that the king has a responsibility to rule over the people. The king, whether it's a lot or whether it's a little, the king in that particular area where the king rules, he's responsible for making sure that taxes are paid. He's making sure that there are services that need to be taken care of for the people. The king finds out that if someone messes with some of the people in his place, he has a responsibility to protect them. But yet, if we think about kings from the biblical standpoint, we find out that some of the kings mistreat their people. King Ahab and some of the pharaohs and some of the others. And we find out that some of the biblical kings were very evil. They didn't do what was right in the sight of the Lord. See, they liked the position and they liked the power, but they didn't have anything for you and didn't have anything for me. And we find out that even Pilate was not a good ruler because Pilate used his power for selfish ends. We find out, brothers and sisters, that if you are going to be a king, if you're going to be elected a ruler over people, you have a responsibility to rule your people right. But so many times, as I said before, we find out that people don't treat their people right. People who are kings or people who are elected leaders like to get over on their people. Is that not right? We find out that people who have been elected over us will say one thing when it's time to get elected, but once they're elected, they will do something else. We find out that people who are elected over us, kings or legislators or whoever else that we can name today, we find out that they say they will listen to your voice, but when they get in the office, they're listening to people who will pay the most money in some cases. We find out that they say that they will do something for us, but then we always get the situation where we say we're going to do something once we get in office. But then when you see what goes on, when you see the system as it is laid bare to you, you find out that what you say you're going to do is not as easy as you said is going to happen. We find out, brothers and sisters, that to be a king, you have a great responsibility. But often, those who are entrusted with our trust never fulfill the promises that they said they were going to fulfill. But yet Jesus never mistreats us. Jesus, although Jesus does rule over us, Jesus rules over us justly. Jesus, or as we say back home, the God that we serve is a good God and is worthy to be praised. And no matter what we go through, brothers and sisters, you know, we have a king who loves us. God loves you just as you are. You may not think that you are perfect. You may compare yourselves to others in the mirror or by the dollar sign or by the degree or by the position, but God loves you just as you are. It's true that God, you may not be the person that you used to be, but God loves you as you are. It may not be that other people may not love you, but you know you have somebody who's in your corner. Brothers and sisters, we have a king who rules over us, who loves us, and yet we have this king who empowers us. For if we look all throughout salvation history, Jesus empowered those that Jesus encountered. Whether it was the woman with the issue of blood, she believed that Jesus was going to heal her so much that no one else was able to heal her, but when she touched the hem of his garment, she was made well. Or maybe the man sitting by the pool of Bethsaida, as he'd been sitting there for 30 some odd years, not being healed, but he knew that when people stepped over him, that there was a day that somebody was going to be there to give him healing. And all he had to do was be there, and so he was made well. We find out that the friends who brought the man who was paralyzed down through the house just to see Jesus, because it was too crowded to get in. And Jesus said, your faith will make you well. We find out that Jesus is a king, because Jesus ruled justly over us, and Jesus does not mistreat us. Jesus does not use us for Jesus' own ends, but whatever Jesus uses us for, it will be for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God, no matter where we go. So we find out that Jesus is a just ruler. Jesus is a kind ruler. Jesus is a loving ruler. So we find that out. But then we have to ask ourselves, the other thing that a king has is power. And see, if you've ever seen the Tudors, you will see how much power King Henry VIII had. See, because just of being a king, the king had the ultimate power of life and death in his hand. And like in the Tudors, and if you've seen other movies with kings and things, royalty and monarchy and all that nature, you could sometimes be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and the king will summon you to death. You see, power is something that a king has, in something that the peons want. Brothers, as we find out, everybody wants to be a king. Everybody wants to be like maybe King LeBron James. Or maybe someone wants to be like other king, King Arthur, whatever the case may be. Because they look at people who have the ultimate power to do great things, and we want to be just like them, or at least have that same type of power that they have. But the other thing that is wrong about power, or the opposite of having good power, is having bad power. See, because some kings have used their power for their own advantage. Some use violence. Some use terror. Some divide people by ethnicity or race. We find out back in the days of the conflict in Rwanda between the Hutu and the Tutsis. We find out in other places that yet somebody who is a ruler can use things by their own way, and all they do is give an edict, and people die innocently for what goes on. And in case you have forgotten, we still have this happening here in America today. Now, our person who was at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue may not be considered a king, but there are some things that have happened that we have been taken advantage of. All we have to do is look at TV. We hear all the time about fake news. We hear all the time about tweets. We hear all the time about other things that this person has said. But people believe it, but some people are suffering just for it. Ta-Nehisi Coates' new book, or his recent book, We Were 8 Years in Power, An American Tragedy, talks about life during the 8 years of President Barack Obama. And if you've had the opportunity to read the book, he uses the word plunder a whole lot in his book. And he talks about how African Americans and other people of color have been plundered here by the government and other forces here in America. And if you look at the word plunder, it is defined as the stealing of goods and the violent acquisition of property or goods. And he postulates that people of color here in America, especially African Americans, things have been stolen from them all their lives. That we have been plundered. Things have been taken from us. And things have been taken from us not only by will, but also by force. But brothers and sisters, a good king knows how to use power in a good way. For we know that God uses power for good. For God healed for good. God raised from the dead for good. God has touched each and every one of us in here for goodness, not for selfishness, not for anybody's own benefit. God uses God's people for good. Now, sometimes that's hard to say in the church or in other places, because sometimes what people do in church even is not necessarily for your good. Let me say it again. Sometimes what people do in the church is not necessarily for your good, because people take the intentions of God and wrap it into their own intentions to do what they want to do. But yet, brothers and sisters, doesn't mean that God is still not good. It still means that God uses whatever for good. For even Joseph said that back in Genesis when his brothers tried to get rid of him and he was sold into slavery. But yet everything that he had went through, like the song that we heard today, I decided to make Jesus my choice. Through the ups and downs of life, Joseph still saw it, that you meant it evil, but God meant it for good. And we can look back in our lives and see what God has done, even through the evil, even through the misfortunes that we have been through. God still has protected us. God still has touched you. And God still meant it for good, because if you look back in your life, did you ever think about those situations in which you could have been dead? Do you ever look back at those situations in which you could have been robbed? Do you ever look back in those situations in which you could have been an unfortunate circumstance, but yet God still touched you? God's power brought you out, because believe it or not, some of us in here, we didn't grow up in church. Not all the time. And then if we grew up in church, I bet you there's more of us that probably left church and then were back in church, because we were out there doing our own thing. And we can look back in our lives and see now the point in which God brought us back. How God had touched us. How God had put a hand on us. How somebody had prayed for us. You see, that wasn't anything that you have done or anything else. It was the power of God that has brought you up. Because think about it. Some of the situation that we've been in is nothing but the power of God that brought us back. I was sitting the other day when I was at Credo with my friends. And so we were talking about the stupid things that we do. Really, we were talking about the dumb things that we were doing. We were talking about, and I cannot remember this situation, but we had found out that someone was killed unjustly because they were helping somebody out. And so we were sitting around talking, and I was telling about a story when I first came here to Raleigh, how I was sitting in my office, and you know, I'm just so nice, I'll just talk to anybody. There was this couple that had come to me, and they had talked about, they were looking for a truck stop. Now, I was not for sure exactly where a truck stop was here in Raleigh, but they said, well, can you help us out? So I got in my car, took these two people that I did not know. We went as far as Henderson to look for this truck stop. And I sat here and I thought about, and the rest of we were sitting there thinking about, we could have been dead. Somebody could have knocked us upside the head and killed us, and people still wouldn't know where I was anywhere between here and Henderson. But you know what? It was the power of God that brought us out. It was the power of God that allowed me not to be hurt. It was the power of God that touched those two people. Even if they want to do some harm to me, that they did not do that. Because that was not a part of the plan. If we look back in our lives, some of the crazy things that we have done. Don't it just make you laugh that we should not be here? God is like a king. God has the power of life or death. And God knows what's happening to us within our lives. You see, there's nothing we can hide from God. God knows everything. Even because of the senseless things that we do, God still loves us. And God still protects us. And God still has a purpose for us until God calls us home. But the last thing you need to know about a king is that the king has a loyal following. Now, there are some people that don't want to sing the king, and they will try to depose the king and try to bring a revolution and knock the king out. But you know, it doesn't happen unless those who are loyal to the king try to turn against the king. And those who rebuff a takeover know that the king is doing well, and they want to see the king prosper, and they follow him because they know that they will be rewarded for what they do. You see, people tried to get rid of Jesus. They didn't like Jesus because Jesus was messing up their whole situation. But you know, although they tried to get rid of Jesus, although they tried to depose the king and get rid of the Savior, he still is king. See, because Jesus told Pilate, yes, I am a king, but my followers are not of this world. And see, all throughout Scripture, it testifies that Jesus is king. The text tells us that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The text tells us he is the bright and morning star, that he is the eternal Father. He is the one who is coming into the world here just in the next few weeks. You see, Jesus may not be the king that you expect. He may not come tomorrow and lift your financial burden. See, he may not come next week and heal your relationship. He may not come next week and take away the grief that you are facing in your life. He may not come and bring you some type of healing, but Jesus still is king. Because we know that trouble doesn't last always, and there's always a silver lining in a cloud that is flowing across the sky. Doris Williams is an African-American theologian, and she is one of the formative persons founded what was called womanist theology, and that is theology from a black woman's perspective. And so she grew up in the South, and she remembered on Sunday mornings that the minister would shout out, "Who is Jesus?" And then the choir would shout out behind the minister, loud and strong, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords." But at the same time, there was a woman in her congregation, a little small woman, and her name was Miss Huff. And so Miss Huff, at the same time that the choir was saying "King of Kings and Lord of Lords," she would, in a small voice so soft that you could hardly hear her, she would say, "Poor little Mary's baby." And so back and forth every Sunday, when the choir would sing "King of Kings," she would say, "Poor little Mary's boy." And she said that was the black church doing theology. You see, you can't have one without the other. You see, the power is not necessarily about coming down as we know it with men and horses and weapons. This one who is coming came humbly into the world. This one who came into the world may not be able to take away everything that we are facing, but the one who created us and made us is still alive.
Brothers and sisters, understand today that as we go forth into the world, we do serve a king. His name is Jesus. But all other kings are just human. They will do things sometimes in your favor and sometimes they won't. But the one called Jesus loves you so much and still will walk with you. Brothers and sisters, understand today that Jesus is the king. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And if we continue to worship him and understand his power, his might, his glory, and we are his followers, that we, are who are his loyal subjects, may we go forth into the world and tell somebody else that Jesus is king.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Our invitational hymn is in our bulletin, page 7, The Name of Jesus. And now the doors of the church are open. Maybe there are some of you who want to give your lives to Christ for the very first time. Maybe there are some of you who want to join us here at Davie Street Presbyterian Church. Or maybe there are some of you that we need to pray for that you don't realize that Jesus is King. Or maybe Jesus is not the King you expect. But maybe we can assure you that Jesus still is on the throne. If you are one of those persons, may you come to the front as we stand and sing our invitational hymn.